More Ebling and You on More Compelling Talk Radio, 1320 WILS.
The club with his pants falling down, or the dance, that's a dream of romance.
Welcome back. Jack and Scott here, Ebling and You, 1320 WILS. Very happy to welcome in, as we do each week at this time, Ken Glickman, our area arts and entertainment contributor. Hello, Ken. How are you?
I'm okay. How are you, Jack?
You sound a little bit better.
Thank you, sir.
All right. I want to talk about a lot of things going on. And we've got plays at three different venues. We've got music, and we've got some cancellations of music.
Yeah, we do. Let's talk about the plays first.
All right, let's start there.
They seem to be really a really good weekend. We've got three plays, two of which have opened already and have gotten very, very good reviews. One is The Blue Door at the Williamston, quite a serious and powerful drama about a black professor whose wife leaves him, and on a night of insomnia, his generation's past come to haunt him and talk to him about what he's done with his life. And I guess it's quite a powerful, quite a serious drama. But
what is The Blue Door?
I don't know.
Okay.
I do not know. I would guess that The Blue Door is the door of that his past generations walk through to talk to him.
All right.
But
we
just
also
made that up. So,
and who is performing in that? Who's directing?
Okay, so Susie Reagan, who has directed some wonderful plays at Williamson, Panache being one, and Mothers and Crones being another. She's excellent, and she's doing this. And the actors are Rico Bruce Wade is the professor, and Julian Grant is the man who plays most of his relatives. And I've heard from many sources how stirring and powerful this is. So it comes highly recommended. A little unusual for Williamson to have such a serious show, especially as a season opener.
Right. How about Among Friends at Stormfield Theater?
Okay, so we've been watching this theater really come to life over the years, and ever since Christy Thatcher was released from Boar's Head, she started Stormfield, and this is her play. She wrote it, and they now have a theater in
Are you all right, Ken?
I am alive.
All right.
In a storefront in Frandor, and she has three excellent actors. Arl Gribble, who is just a great actor who can do theater in drama as well as comedy. We've seen him all over the place. And John Lippard, who is the executive director of Williamston, who is appearing, and also William Bannon, who is a Chicago actor. So she's got three professional actors, and it's a play that she wrote, and it'll be at Frandor at the southeast corner, 7 tonight, so you got to get there real quick, and 8 Friday and Saturday, 2 p.m. on Sunday, tickets are $25, $15 for students. And the third big play this weekend is Fortinbras, which is a comedy at Riverwalk directed by Ken Beechler. And this is supposed to be a real hoot, very, very funny. It takes place starting at the end of Hamlet, and Fortinbras takes over, and it goes into some real, real crazy stuff. And everyone who's seen it says, number one, the costumes are just really funny, and the actors are wonderful. So all three are recommended.
Do you associate Ken Beechler with comedy? He's done so many different things, so versatile.
Oh, that's a good question. I've seen him direct a lot of different plays. I guess maybe comedy is not top on my list, but I certainly was not surprised. He's a very professional director. He always gets a very good performance. So I'm looking forward to seeing this.
The guy who was starring in that show, Evan Pincenault, works at Channel 6. And
he's an anchor,
friend,
yeah.
I played golf with him this year, and a very, very funny guy. I imagine he'll do a great job in that show.
Well, he's done some wonderful work in local theater, and people say he's great.
All right, what about the music scene here and the Lansing Big Band?
Well, the Lansing Big Band is a group that was put together by John Dale Smith, who's done musicals all over town and is known by many folks for the great work he's done. And he has done a wonderful job with this band. He's brought together great musicians from Michigan State, freelance people from all over the area, and they do the standards. Cole Porter, George Gershwin, Count Basie. It's a real big band, and they are swinging. They're tough. They are a real good performance organization. They're doing their concert at Dart Auditorium on the LCC campus on Sunday, October 10th at 3 p.m. The tickets are only $15. And they only have one other concert, and that's March 6th. So everyone I know who has seen this band just loves them.
All right.
So I recommend it.
The Lansing Big Band has been in existence how long?
Lansing Symphony Big Band. I think about 10 years.
About 10 years. Okay. Well, it's really started to gain some notoriety here, but... another show that a lot of people have been talking about, Detroit Symphony Orchestra, we've got a cancellation, correct?
Yeah, this was a big concert. Everyone was looking forward to it.
What happened?
The Detroit Symphony went on strike this year, and they've been talking about it since August, and it finally happened, and all the concerts are canceled. This is a very serious strike. Music critics all over the country are discussing whether, in fact, the Detroit Symphony will survive. This is an orchestra that was created for a city of 2 million people. It has a full 52-week season, but Detroit now has 800,000 people. And does Detroit have the money to support an orchestra like this? A beginning violin player at the Detroit Symphony makes $104,000 a year.
Maybe the band has to be reconstructed. I mean, the symphony orchestra would have to have some changes, right?
Well, they want to lower the salaries by 30%.
Yeah.
And what the leaders of the orchestra are saying is, you know, if you do that, they are considered the 10th best orchestra in the country, then the great players are not going to come to Detroit.
What's the alternative?
The alternative is to not have an orchestra. The fact is, the city of Austin, Texas, is about the size of Detroit today.
All right.
And maybe Detroit simply can't sustain an orchestra of this caliber anymore. If it's true, it'll be very, very sad, because the Detroit Symphony has been a great amount of pride for the city of Detroit, the arts organizations in general, and a lot of people see this as the canary in the coal mine, that when the major arts institutions go away, the city suffers greatly.
Is this pay scale pretty much the norm for an orchestra this size, or was it the norm for an orchestra that size?
Well, the orchestra is of the size. I mean, it is still what it is. And so for the tenth best orchestra in the country, that is about the norm. I'm not sure what the conductor gets paid, but it's somewhere in the $800,000 to $900,000 area. And so this $104,000 that I quoted you is the beginning salary. So obviously the section leaders, the concert mistress, makes a lot more than that.
You're going to make Scott Eckersley wish he'd stayed in music. You keep talking
exactly
about numbers like that. $800,000?
For the conductor.
For the conductor of the orchestra.
Yeah, yeah. And it took years to find him. So this is a real problem. Yes, I think orchestras might have to rethink their their plan. Now, the Lansing Symphony, these musicians are local and near local freelancers who are paid for that concert. They are paid for each rehearsal leading up to the concert. There are like five rehearsals. And then when the concert is over, they don't get paid anymore until the next concert.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it's not a full-time job for any of them.
Sure. I understand the Lansing Symphony Orchestra does great things, and we know they have a very distinguished conductor. I take it he doesn't make $800,000.
I think he would be very surprised if he got a check for that. Yeah. No, I have no idea what Timothy Muffin makes, but it's nowhere near that. So, you know, it's very interesting. I went to the opening of the Detroit Orchestra Hall, which was refurbished. And when I was there, they had a program of the original concert at the Detroit Orchestra Hall, which was 1906 or 1911 or something like that. And the concert program seemed very similar to the concert programs we see today. It hasn't changed. And if you look on the stage, what you were watching was exactly the same kind of concert as you saw in 1906. Everyone sitting in tuxes, no amplification, no production value, as it were, just the musicians sitting on stage, the conductor coming out, the applause afterwards, no applause in between the movements, so on and so forth. And since 1906, and probably for a couple of years, 100 years before, the orchestra program, the method of performance, has not changed.
I am just guessing, Ken, that the symphony orchestra then would be the most static form of entertainment we have in this country and the most impervious to change.
That could be. I would say opera. But opera has been changing a lot. The Met has movies. You can go tomorrow, I mean on Saturday, and watch a live performance of the Met in a brand new production, and it'll be broadcast in movie theaters all over the country. Well, the symphonies don't do that.
Right.
So
right.
There are changes, but not with symphony orchestras. And I think they simply have to change because that financial model is not going to work, certainly in a city like Detroit.
Yeah, it's non-supportable. You just don't know that the city of Detroit would ever be without some sort of orchestra. There would be one that would be formed in the absence of this one, but I don't know what these musicians would do. I imagine they could go to other cities and try to catch on and uproot their families, but if they want to live in Metro Detroit, this is kind of what it is, right?
It is, and what I think they want to reformulate the orchestra so that the musicians go out and work in the public schools and go out into community events and really do far more outreach than they are at the present time.
Well, I think that's a good thing. I think that any education you can get in the schools and stimulate the interest in music at that level can only help down the road. Ken, thanks so much for joining us. You're a trooper. We appreciate that, knowing that you've been under the weather here, and we'll talk with you again Monday for Get a Job.
Looking forward to it. See you, Jack.